If you will, to Matthew chapter 24. I'm sure you guys enjoyed Bryce last weekend. I appreciated him filling in for me. I had kind of something that came up sudden there in the middle of the week and needed to be gone, and I knew Bryce would do a good job. So we're in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to pick up in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now let's read verse 15. It says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, see him stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." So we've already covered all the verses up to verse 15. So we're going to tackle verse 15, and that's actually as far as we're going to get tonight as far as discovering anything of it. That we'll read a few more verses, but this is the one we'll focus on, okay? Remember what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the happenings specifically of the tribulation period. Now, there's a lot of end time stuff that things that would be applicable to just the end times in general. But from a specific standpoint, Jesus is talking about the tribulation period, a time that's going to be the second half of it is going to be the worst this earth has ever seen. If you look down the page, just a few verses to verse 21, it says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of this world to this time. No, never shall be." And so it's going to be the worst of the worst. It's never been that bad, and never will be that bad again. It's natural for mankind to hope for better days. I hope for better days. You hope for better days. There's times when we see the tide turning in our country, as I think we see in a lot of ways now, and we appreciate that, and we hope for more and all of this. And we dream of times of peace and economic stability and safer neighborhoods and all of these things. And those things throughout history, there's been chapters of that in different pockets of the world, especially here in the United States. We've probably seen as much of that as anybody. But the truth of the matter is, any kind of lasting or permanent peace is going to continue to elude man all the way until the day this 7-year period that we're reading about is over, at which time the millennial kingdom will begin, and Jesus will reign with absolute peace then. But until then, nothing permanent. We can hope for the best, strive for the best, but it's going to be only to a certain degree will we have peace and prosperity, and only for a certain length of time. But when Jesus rules the world, that'll be a different story. Now, our focus of this study, again, is of the end times, but specifically about the tribulation period. And the things Jesus describes here in this text is not something new to his hearers. You have to understand that the disciples surrounded him. I'm quite sure there were a few more besides the disciples, but we know they were there. And this was not a new teaching. When he begins to talk about the dreadful things of the end times, they had heard that before. He's describing things that they had read about. As Jews, they would have been familiar with their Old Testament Bibles. Their Old Testament Bibles would have had the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and the book of Daniel, as our text here mentions, Zechariah, a lot of the books that really have a lot in them regarding what it's going to be like as the end
approaches. And so they would have been somewhat familiar with this whole idea. But what Jesus is speaking of here in verse 15 is an event right in the middle of the tribulation period that will really trigger all the hellish activity, that the birth pains, if you will, that we have already read some about and we'll read a lot more about. This is going to be the turning point, the abomination of desolation. And it's going to turn things. Things are going to unravel far more rapidly until Jesus comes at the end of that seven-year period, returns, and then sets the record straight. Let's read verse 15 once again. It says, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, you see him stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth this, let him understand." And then he goes on in verse 16 and says, "Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains." And he goes on for several verses. We'll look at them later. But he's saying, when you see these things, when this takes place, hang on, is essentially what's being said there. And when he says, "when ye see these things," obviously Jesus is not talking specifically to his disciples or anyone else that's standing around him saying, "you're going to see these things," but rather he's speaking prophetically to those who will be living during the end times when these things transpire. Okay, that could be us today, but it might not. It possibly could have been the disciples, but it wasn't. We don't know when this time is going to take place. But he says that when ye, the generation of people that hear it, sees this abomination of desolation take place, then you better hang on. And then he goes on and he begins to introduce what this is, this turning point, abomination of desolation, which is, it's a key to understanding a great deal of this whole tribulation period. The parallel passage to this over in Luke chapter 21 and verse 20 says this, "And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." Okay, and so Luke's writings of this just adds a little more detail to this event, describing the setting when the abomination of desolation takes place. Jerusalem is going to be surrounded by their enemies, and Jerusalem is now and will still be then the center of the world. It's the focal point of the world. Obviously, it's the capital of Israel, but all eyes in the world are upon Jerusalem from day to day, more so than any other city in the world, and it's always in the news. And the hostility that surrounds Israel by the nations around it and has been for all these decades, especially since they returned to their homeland and 75 or so years ago, that hostility is going to intensify in these end times. And it's going to not only intensify, but it's going to spread to more surrounding nations. And a great deal of the world is going to, during these times, is going to ally itself or themselves against Israel. They're going to come together. Lots of nations are going to come together united against Israel. And they're going to be surrounding Jerusalem, as that text in Luke 21 says, and they're going to be ready to pounce. They hadn't pounced yet, but they're going to be ready to pounce. And with that in mind, let me shift my focus now to the man at the center of things going into this abomination of desolation. And of course, that's the Antichrist. And he's spoken of in great detail in the book of Revelation. If you've studied that, you know that. But he's alluded to in other places in the Bible, but the most information to be found out about him is in the book of Revelation. He's a character that is first going to come on the scene sometime during the early years of the tribulation period. He's going to be a very charismatic, obviously. He's going to have a lot of people skilled to rise to the power that he does. He's going to likely be a very likable individual. Charismatic. He's going to have so many good traits about him, or favorable traits, I guess you'd say. I don't know about good, but favorable traits about him that the world is going to accept him. Now, we have very few leaders come on the scene in the world that we might get a president that we in America like, but nobody else likes him. We got one right now. I like him, but nobody else does, you know. But, you know, most world leaders are favorable in their country, but worldwide, there's not. But this charismatic individual he's going to come to power. He's going to have such great charisma and likability that the world at large is going to set him up in power. And he's going to promise a lot of things: peace, prosperity, and initially, to a great extent, he's going to deliver on those promises. He's going to bring about some really good things and gain the confidence of the world as he goes, and especially gain the confidence of Israel. They're going to he's going to lead a 10-nation confederation of European nations. And the reason we say they're European because they're going to according to Scripture, they coincide with a lot of the ancient Roman Empire. And so it's going to be 10 nations that he's going to bring together and be the leader of. And with all that power and all that influence, he's going to lead Israel to believe that he can protect them from all of these enemy nations that hate them. And he's going to tell them, hey, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to find the peace and the prosperity you've been looking for, and I'm going to be the answer to your problems. And they're going to believe him. And when he says he's going to be able to provide this, they're going to have a reason to believe that because of all else that he has done across the world, okay? But the truth of the matter is, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a man so evil that the Word of God knows him as the Antichrist, okay? I don't think of any worse name you could be given than the Antichrist by God the Father, okay? And so that's how evil he is. And so he's going to be the one at the helm, if you will, worldwide, when we get to this, what's taking place here in verse 15. And now we'll talk about that. This is going to be a major turning point in the tribulation. It's going to be right smack dab in the middle of the 7 years. So it's going to be 3.5 years in. There's lots of things in Daniel talking about the weeks and all of this. You could have to study on your own, but that tells us that it's going to be that 3.5 year period. Okay, and so he is going to, at this point, 3.5 years up to now, everybody's had confidence in him. Everybody's looking to him. He's had favor with everybody. Now he's in power. Now he has more power than anybody can do anything about, and he rips off his nice mask. His friendly mask comes off, as it were, and he begins to reveal his true character, which is that the fact that he is a man that hates God and hates Israel, okay? And that's going to be seen very quickly, and he's going to make his feelings towards God and Israel public by committing what's being said here in verse 15, the abomination of desolation. Now, the word abomination refers to something that's repulsive or something that causes great disgust, okay? Throughout the Bible, the term abomination is used to describe most things that are idolatrous or wicked or ungodly, okay, abominable things. And then the word desolation means to lay waste. And so we could very safely say that the abomination that causes desolation will stand, it says, in the holy place. It's that's a reference to the temple, okay? So we're going to see the Antichrist, this man, commit the abomination of desolation standing in the temple. By this time, the Jews will have rebuilt the temple, something that we're anticipating right now. Lots of talk of, has been for recent decades, and preparations are even being made. A lot of scholars say, and I don't know enough about that, but things they're saying, we're getting closer to them being able to rebuild the temple. It's going to have to be rebuilt before this takes place, because he's got to have a temple to go into. And so he's going to go into that rebuilt temple, And by that time, all the practices of the Jews will be in place, the animal sacrifices, all the ceremonial things that will be taking place, they'll be back to like Old Testament times almost, worshiping in the temple. And the Antichrist, up to this point, he's been seen as trustworthy, but this is going to be the turning point when he enters the temple, a place he should never be, and he goes in and he exalts himself as a god. He puts himself forward as the one that needs to be worshipped going forward from that time forward. Okay, he puts all the holy activity of the temple to an end. All the stuff that's based on the Old Testament and all that the Jews will be doing, he will put that to an end. It'll be laid waste, if you will, become desolate. And he's going to proceed with his own abominable practices and sacrifices. And going forward, for the whole second half of the tribulation period, he's going to begin to reveal his true colors. And just as he's laid waste the temple worship, the abomination of desolation, laid waste the temple worship, but he will also begin the process of laying waste to the nation of Israel. Okay, I want you to read now on with me the following verses. We're not going to get into them in depth, but he mentions verse 15. When you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place or in the temple, he goes on verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, those that are nursing mothers, okay? But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And he goes on to the verse we read earlier, for then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. Okay, you know what's being said there? In other words, he's saying when you see this take place in the temple, when you see the Antichrist finally reveal who he is and defile the temple, then you better run for your lives. He's talking to Jews in general, okay? You better run for your lives because you're on your own. The one you were looking to protect you and bring peace has betrayed you. He no longer even is going to pretend to give Israel peace. And the whole world is going to be against Israel. They're going to be surrounding nations, but they're going to be a vast amount of nations that are not even immediately surrounding them are going to be going against Israel. And that's the way it's going to be until the Messiah returns. Now, that's a whole lot of information, okay? And really, you can only get a real clear understanding of all of this by studying the book of Daniel, studying the book of Revelation, studying a part of 2 Thessalonians, and of course, this text here. Now, am I saying that I've been through all of that? I have at one time, but the guys that I read, the smart guys that I tell you about, the guys that I trust as good fellow theologians, they help me to begin, to grasp these things. If you ever want to study it on your own, those are going to be the chapters, the books that you need to study, Daniel, Thessalonians, Revelation, Matthew 24 and 25, but you're probably also going to need a lot of smart guys to help you too. I encourage you to study it, okay? But with this, if we know anything about the history of Israel in the last 75 years or so, we need to know about the history of them in general all the way back. But the last 75 years or so, since they've been back in their homeland, if you're familiar with any of that, then you'll know that what we're talking about here, not only does it not sound far-fetched, but it sounds to be imminent. It sounds like something this could happen any day. Why? Because the hatred of Israel is as intense now as it's ever been. Anti-Semitism is on the rise worldwide. And there are nations that are going to be lined up against Israel in the end times, but there's already nations lined up against them now. Some of them will be the same nations. I'll leave you with this. Ezekiel chapter 38, I've taught on that two or three times on Sunday morning regarding Russia and even Ukraine, possibly, not saying the Ukraine will come against Israel, but the land of the Ukraine, what is Ukraine today. Ezekiel 38 mentions several nations that will unite against Israel in those end times, that will converge on them during these times that we're talking about. And I'll just give you some interesting facts. It speaks of Magog. Magog is, if you read in Ezekiel 38 and 39, speaks of a northern nation, okay? Well, if you read Josephus, which is not a biblical, Josephus is not inspired writing, but he was a great Christian writer of old times, okay, in the early first, I think he's first century, second century, right through there, that is very dependable. He will tell you that the land of Magog is what we know as modern day Russia. Okay, so it speaks of Magog, it speaks of Meshach and Tubal, which is where modern day Turkey is today. That's to the north also. So you have those two nations to the north. It speaks of Persia, which is modern day Iran and Afghanistan today. That is to the east of Israel. It speaks of Ethiopia, which is modern day Sudan, which is to the south of Israel. And then last of all, it speaks of Gomer, which is modern day, not Powell, by the way, Gomer, which is the modern day Libya, which is, if you look on your maps, is to the west of Israel. And so you see Israel is surrounded, the Bible tells us it's going to be surrounded by these enemies in the end times, but you've already got these nations to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west on every side of Israel, that each one of them, maybe not currently in conflict with Israel, but have had or has reason to have a beef with them, okay? And so it's really, you know, when you read this stuff, you say, well, I can see that happening. It doesn't make any difference. God says it's going to happen whether we see it happening or not. But it's kind of exciting when you see these things, because you know that we could very well be living in the age that is going to lead into these times, in which case we'll be raptured out of here and we'll say goodbye to this world. Okay? All right. Let's stand and be dismissed. Kind of went a little longer tonight, so I'll get you out of here. Appreciate your faithfulness. Come Sunday, bring somebody with you. We had a rough Sunday. Well, we had a good day, but there was a lot of people gone that Memorial Day weekend, so let's get them back this Sunday and fill these pews. Okay? All right. Jim St. Pierre, we